go. The opinions and views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the Mortgage Dudes only, and not those of Equity Resources Incorporated or Greentree Mortgage Services. We're not crazy. Think of them as your slightly odd, yet occasionally hilarious uncles that are very knowledgeable about mortgages. I will say, together they have over 45 years of experience in the housing market, and that may or may not have included bourbon, beer, and cigars. They are here to enlighten and entertain, and we cannot be responsible for the language or jokes. So buckle up and be ready. Things are about to get interesting.
Funny story, me and Shane were at a top producer annual vision meeting for our combined companies. And the first thing I said to Shane is, man, are you short? And he really is. He looks big. He looks weight. But he's tiny.
The camera adds 15 inches in height.
Thank God it had three chins too, baby.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mortgage Dudes. I'm Shane Marzullo with Greentree Mortgage.
I'm Ed Maloney with Equity Resources on marvelous Cape Cod in my marvelous fish shirt. Some of us wear nice shirts, and Shane will tell you about his shirt in Ohio.
Yeah, so we have our new Mortgage Dudes t-shirts. We're going to be doing some stuff with and give them away. The best part is the back where it says mortgages, booze, cigars, oh my. And then our company thing. So we're going to be doing some stuff, doing some giveaways. Like Ed's always big about his Ed Yeti, and he does fabulous with that. Gives away his awesome Yetis. And we can do a little thing and drawing. So we'll have people.
Buy a little hat. We put all the people that enter in. Usually we pick a farmer Ed Yeti. Everybody makes fun of them, but I've got a little design. And we've given away 32 Farmer Ed Yetis. In most contests, we have 300 plus people enter. I had some lunatic offer me $500 for a Yeti. The answer was no, no, no. You must enter because it makes it marvelous and special. Just like this podcast, where we're going to talk about fun things like insurance, things like how much can you buy.
Yeah.
But more importantly, things like fishing versus camping. Just giving you a little ideas of what's to come.
Yep. So one of the things we wanted to talk about was like home insurance. A lot of times with home insurance, people, you know, it is required when you buy a home. You got to get it. We pay for it at closing. There's your basic fire, you know, insurance, you know, vandalism, all that type of stuff. And then there's something called flood insurance. You know, we actually deal with some good insurance company agents who we always trust. I always, you know, like to refer them out because they do a great job, and they're going to quote you based on, they're not just going to quote you with some cheap, low insurance, which is not all the time the best thing to have, but they're going to give you a good coverage where if you do have an issue, you can call them. And, you know, they're not like these 800 number companies where, you know, you talk to a different rep all the time, or, you know, I can talk to he's one of my good friends, Matt. Matt, I can call Matt and say, hey, you know, I had an issue. Should I make a claim? He's like, yes or no, just call this company. It'd be cheaper to have them do it and fix it yourself. And, you know, however, you know, they're going to look out for you for what's your best interest. And that's important. And you guys probably have some insurance referrals up there that you work
with. Yeah. So one of the biggest issues up here is your wind deductible. On Cape Cod, you have different ones. So I agree with Shane, getting an insurance agent. Yes, it's important cost. Yes, it's important coverage. But having somebody there that's going to fight for you on your claim, if you get a claim, is key. And that's what I say to all my people. Also, there's addendums that you can get to your homeowner's insurance, things like earthquake addendum. There, for me, for instance, I have horses on my property. I found when I had a trampoline and horses, it limited the carriers I could get, because there were two risk factors. We got rid of the trampoline, and my provider could shop me to different places. So having a professional, just like in the mortgage industry, they can really educate you. Flood, you know, you got flood zones, you have non-flood zones. For years, there was flood insurance for FHA that was just government. Now there's flood insurance through public markets. Flood insurance is something that doesn't cover all kinds of water damage in your basement and different things. And you really need a professional. I'm not going to say that I am one,
no,
but I'm going to give you experts. The biggest concern is what Shane said. People go online, they come back to me. I've given them two names. They go to, you know, the general on TV and get the lowest, but nobody explained to them their coverages. And then all of a sudden they have a sewer backing up and it wasn't covered. Mm-hmm. And they're really full of poop all over the place. Yeah. It's not really fun. And then they're frustrated. So all I can say is work with experts, get the information, then make your decision. Regular homeowners insurance is mandated. The different coverages or deductibles can be different. Things like wind coverage is big here on Cape Cod. Should you have flood insurance? Yeah, you should talk to your agent.
Yeah, you were saying wind and coverage. I mean, we all have wind, but is it?
But we have certain deductibles because of where we are.
Okay.
So we're going to have certain limitations and certain deductibles that they'll cover to. Another thing you want to talk to your insurance person is about umbrella insurance. Umbrella covers your car, your home, over an amount. Like, let's say you have a pool, and Shane comes over and gets drunk, hits his head. Your coverage is only this much.
I'm suing the shit out of you.
You know, so this,
you overserve me. I am suing the living shit out of you. I am riding your horse with the bags of money out of town. The little tiny horse, not the bigger one, because I'm too short for the big one.
So we've kind of covered insurance.
Yeah,
and I think
I want to think of the flood insurance though. We want to get into flood insurance too because that is important. A lot of, you know, and flood insurance, like Ed said, it basically covers if the home, we have a natural disaster and it floods. And some areas have like a, you know, the home might like, well, we haven't had a flood in, you know, 30 years. Well, it's on a 100-year floodplain. And, you know, so you're going to have to, might be required. And
yeah,
in some areas, flood insurance is expensive as shit. I mean, it's crazy. And
you bring up a good point. Certain areas, it's required. So I had a house in a town that has no, like, lakes, rivers, but it had this little thing of water running behind the house, and they were in a federal flood zone. They had to get it. That also makes it harder to sell your home, in my opinion, because you've got different insurances. Yep. Is there a way to get out of a flood zone? You can talk to experts. They can look into it. That's not being Shane.
The one way to get out of a flood zone, I will say, is you can basically have a elevation survey. So understand, we as lenders lend on your home. The land is fine. So if the back of your house is in a flood zone, but the house is not touching any of the flood zone, we're not going to require flood insurance. But if any portion of the home is in that flood zone, then it's required. So now, that being said, there's something called a map of amendment. And what that basically means is this. You have an elevation survey done. You show that your home is above that floodplain, okay? Then that is submitted to the FEMA. And they will issue what they call a map of amendment, basically saying that your home is not required. And that's a 10-year, that's for like 10 years. It's, you know what, it's, you know, that survey, you know, it might run you 800 or 500 to $1,000. I don't know. Depends on
the area. In my market, it might be double that.
Yeah.
In my market,
yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody's different. But if you're paying $500 or $2,000 a year for flood insurance, it's worth it. I mean, you just saved, you know, in a matter of one, you know, one cost, you could save 9 years of flood insurance. I did find a company that if you're not doing a government loan, if you're not going FHA or VA, where you can, you know, you're not forced to use FEMA. Well, governments, they force you to use FEMA. If it's like conventional, then you don't have to. And I did find a couple companies that are really good. I don't know if I ever gave that. I'll shoot you that information.
One big one, Lloyd's of London, was doing it.
Yeah.
Lloyd's of London, who insures Major League Baseball players, football players, big weightlifters, professional fishermen.
They did that model's legs. I don't know if you remember.
Yes,
can't remember her name.
So Lloyd's of London is one. But in summary, insurance is important. Having your options is important. Yep. Getting your house out of a flood zone might make it easier to sell. That kind of covers insurance. The fun topic next is fishing, which I like to do, versus camping, which I'm wondering if he really glamps.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the difference totally of camping different. And glamping.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Shane because he's got a nice little fancy camper. I just got fishing poles. Go at it, babe.
We have an RV. We have a Class A RV. I love it. I'm going to tell you right now. When I was younger, I'd be like, oh, I can sleep on anything. I'm telling you right now, we had a mattress. I'm like, it was a Sleep Number type mattress. I freaking hated that piece of shit. I was like, I'm done. I'm done with it. I ripped the son of a bitch out, threw it out of the RV, put
it. Those are expensive because they go up, down.
I couldn't find my number. My number was get the hell out of my RV. I actually put a memory foam mattress in there. It's awesome. Sleep much better with it. But we're pretty much glampers. Yeah, I mean, I am not like off the grid. I mean, my off the grid means we are driving to Florida. We stopped at a Walmart to go sleep at night. And then I wake up, I start the RV, and we head back to Florida. So we like to...
I got a question. Yeah. You're parking your RV in a Walmart. Has anybody ever come up and banged on the window?
No.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's not... It's very common. I mean, there's a lot of people who are camping or going travelers. They will, they'll stop at... Walmart or Camping World.
Sounds pretty illegal to me. But
no, it's they actually are excited. They like it because you know why? We always need something. I always have to go and grab something or buy something. I'm like, oh, I forgot this. Or, it's Walmart. They have everything for you.
We have postings, no kidding, in certain places. You can't park anything there because...
Some of them will. Some of them will.
So it's very interesting how places are different. So you're glamping.
Yeah.
Explain what glamping is.
So like glamping pretty much is I'm using air conditioning. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now. I have TVs. I have a TV inside. I have TVs outside. I got Wi-Fi. I have to Wi-Fi because I'm working. We don't have vacations. I work. I actually do applications and answer the phone when we're camping and everything. So like in January, we're gone for like 3 months. And then we go to Lakeland area. I love it. And we can golf. We work out. And then in March, we go to Miramar Beach, Destin area. Absolutely. If anybody wants to just love it, it's just something about Destin is amazing, or Miramar, or whatever. That damn water, it swaddles me like a big fat baby. I normally wake up at 6:45, 7 o'clock. I don't set an alarm. I just get up. Even me and my dog will sleep till like 8 o'clock. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's just those waves and everything.
Speaking of waves, so first of all, as a 20-year-old, I'm now in my early 50s, some are further up, but I'm in my early 50s, but in my 20s, me and my wife used to get a tent, we used to camp, yeah. We used to have the river going near us, it was wonderful. Then we had kids, then we stayed in little wooden boxes camping, now we don't do any of that. But we live on Cape Cod, for those of you that don't know where that is, it's on Massachusetts at the tip, and I fish. I love to fish, even though I'm an energetic, accused occasionally being a little bit type A. I love to fish. Why? It's calming. Kind of like what the bald-headed man said, it's peaceful, the water. So for me, my boat is called the Attitude of Gratitude. It's a 24-foot Key West with a 300 Yamaha engine. It's 9 years old. It's not spit shined. It's a little messy because I like to fish and I don't need things perfect. Look at my head, look at Shane's. Shane's is perfect, mine is not. And, to me, Camping, I would be bored out of my effing skull. But for me, fishing, my friends are like, how do you do this? Like 8 hours, I'll go on the boat, 3-4 hours, fish, talk to clients on the phone, and then I'll go offshore on other people's big boats. And we will go 100 miles offshore. People are like, you're type A? What if you don't catch anything? This weekend, me and my son went trout fishing because saltwater fishing hasn't started yet. 9 hours between 2 days. I have a little cut on my head because I got a thing stuck in the tree and pulled it down. It hit me in the head, and I'm glad it was very pretty. But the point being, 9 hours, I didn't catch a effing fish. I didn't have an effing bite. Friend of mine we were with for an hour, he had two, and when we left, he caught three more trout, sent me a big picture. But for me, it's about the calming and the peace. For me, it's about the enjoyment. I can fish from anywhere. I can fish from the Cape Cod Canal. I can fish from my boat. Literally, my fishing season, saltwater, I'm waiting for my first striped bass. It's early in the season, but I'm already trying. I put a little prediction out there on Facebook, mostly saying around April 19th. Some are saying May. I'm like, what do you want me to go more effing bald like this idiot? So fishing to me is fun, but you can combine camping and fishing. And there might be the day that Shane's wife, who does ignore him, I learned that this weekend, and my wife, who just goes to Ohio and leaves me here, takes the horses. Maybe me and Shane will do a video camping and fishing together. That might be his time.
Here's the problem with fishing. I always tell people, you know, we grew up poor. And so my mom and dad, we lived in the thumb area in Michigan. And for people who don't understand when I say thumb area, here's Michigan. We lived in the thumb. So we lived around here. So it was a little town, but we would go up, you know, to go fishing. We fished because we were poor and that's how we ate a lot of times. You know, fishing is cheap and it's easy. And so when I tell people, when I say salmon, you know, like, oh, I love salmon. I'm like, salmon to me is poor people food. We ate salmon all the time. I hate salmon. All I think of is poor people food. That was salmon. And I mean, there was times where it was basically about a 20-year span. I wouldn't even eat macaroni and cheese because it was nasty to me. I'm like, nope, it's poor people food. Now I put ketchup on macaroni and cheese. It makes it better. So, but that's, you know, and so when you say fishing, I think of like my father, my mom sitting in a, but when we sat in a chair or we sat, you know, we just sat there. My father had the
fly fishing.
Well, not fly fishing, but it was like the open cast one, you know, and he had, you know, he would sit there and fish. And my mom would basically make me sit by her. They would get a fishing license for me, but she'd make me sit by her. So she'd have four poles. She'd sit her ass in the chair. She'd have four poles in the water, okay? And she'd have two on the ground with a string tied around her big toe and two in her hand with a string here. And then she would, if she started feeling a nibble, she'd put those down and grab that one. And that's how my mom fished. My mom, you know, my mom was always playing the system. But so you, when you fish, are you... You're literally sitting on a boat. You're not sitting on the shore.
So it depends. I go on my boat. This weekend, me and my son trout fishing went to five different ponds. I, when saltwater fishing, will fish from the Cape Cod Canal or beaches. So I fish from a lot of places. But it's funny what you bring up is, reticular activators. When our head focuses on something, you focus on the struggles of your family with salmon. Others focus on salmon as a high-class food, or people going to lost areas, dropped in helicopters to catch the most wonderful things. If we want to do history, way back in the 1600s, lobster was trash food. Now lobster today, I was
expensive.
At
I love
the
lobster.
Local supermarket because of the whales. We can't catch lobsters right now. $27 a pound with the damn shell on it, like the guy behind me, that lobster. But it shows connotations of things. So for me, fishing is fun and it's peaceful. Is it a means of food? Yes. Do I catch and release a lot? Yes. Do I catch a lot? My son fillets because it would have bones if I did it. Not so good with that. But we'll give it to friends and family. And where people are so excited, like I'll post on Facebook, I have six fillets of black sea bass. Would anybody like them? Yeah. And they love it. And I'll even deliver it to clients. I'm not going to freaking Ohio to deliver it, but like on the Cape Cod area, or you could drive over the bridge and come find me. But it's funny how people find their happiness. At the end of the day, if it's golf, if it's camping, if it's fishing, I think the point I'm trying to make, I don't give a shit what he's making, is that fishing's better than camping. Camping's a little boo-boo. And this is the way he camps, not the way real men camp. But the point is, find what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Because we're blessed to be in careers that we spend most of our time in, but we found a balance. Like Shane said in the last podcast, we can work from anywhere. Mm-hmm. We don't take vacations. We're on pretty much 24/7.
Yep.
Earliest years in this business, my wife and our marriage had its challenges because it's 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. Somebody's calling. They're stressed. We are a psychiatrist, not just a numbers person.
I have a closing tonight at 6:30. We're gonna go. I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, I got something going on. Then after that, I might head over there. It's just we don't. Even though we take what people will consider a vacation, we actually are truly just working remotely. That's all we do. You know, and people are like, oh, I don't want to bother you. I'm like, bother us. That's what we do. I mean, that's, we signed up for this gig. That's, you know what?
That's,
you know, look, if I didn't want you to bother me, I would not be in the business or I'd retire. You know,
Here's the problem though, Shane, and I'm going to be clear, and you brought this up before. There's many people on the real estate side and mortgage side that don't get that. If you're at a local bank, you're 9 to 5, and that's the difference of working with an independent mortgage banker, loan officer, and a local bank. We knew what we signed up for. You got two guys that done this over 20 years.
Yeah.
We lived through 08, where people just crushed. Those people have never come back. We have people say to us all the time, well, I don't want to bother you. I've chosen this. Yeah. I also can go to a kid's doctor's appointment where when I was, my first career, 12 years accounting CFO. Yes, I was a chief financial officer. God knows how that went. But I was a totally human, different human then than I am today. I lost 2.5 hours of my day every day commuting. The stress level was high. I was firing people for a living at the age of 31. Now I help people the last 21 years buy homes.
Yep.
Do they all get to buy a home? No. Yep. Some people don't listen. They're stupid. Sorry. Some people... What do you mean stupid? So I'm going to go into the stupid category. This isn't even on our sheet. Do not buy a car during the process. Do not decide you don't like your husband or wife right after you sign a contract and decide to get divorced. Those are not bright ideas. Do not go and not pay your mortgage. Not a good idea. I go through a bunch of other stupid ideas. Sorry. But I think we need to transition to comma. Yeah. Nicer way. Yep. So you had something about how much you can buy versus reality.
Yeah, we you know, a big thing is when we sit down or we talk to a lot of first time buyers or fifth time home buyers, believe it or not, people, you know, seasoned people still don't understand certain things. And there's a big
Pepsi
difference.
Pepsi is better than Coke.
Yeah.
Pepsi's better than Coke.
That's how people but there's a reality of what you qualify for, and then there's basically what your max pre-approval you're comfortable with for. So I have individuals that, hey, you can qualify for a $500,000 home. And they're like, whoa, stop the bus. You know, we don't want to have a house payment maybe more than $2,000. Okay, so what we do is we sit there and work backwards. Okay, if you're putting down X with, you know, in this area, we know what we can, you know, we're not 100% on taxes and or insurance,
but we're
educated enough where we can do a great guess. And we figure there, like, okay, based on that, you're looking at a, you know, $250,000, $300,000 price range. You know, depending on your situation. And I think that's important because the main question we always ask our borrowers is, it's not about how much do you want to buy? It's what's the most you want to pay for a house payment? I sat down with a couple yesterday and they're like, Well, the guy was like, hey, well, I'm looking at, we want to look in this area, but I don't want to be more than $700 a month. And I was polite and I said, look, that's great. You're not going to buy a home at that. And he's like, what do you mean? I go, just a $200,000, $250,000 home, you putting down this, your payment's $1,600 a month, just principal and interest. Hmm. And he's like, oh. So then we kind of worked from there what they were comfortable with, and we kind of talked. And that's what Ed and I do. We're going to sit there. We're not like the bank loan officer that's going to sit there and go, well, there you go. You're approved for $500,000. You might not want that house. You know, they don't tell you the payment, you know, and that's important.
We're all about the consultation. We're about listening to the client. One of my first conversations with the client is, what is your goal? Then we go over, which we talked about before, gross income compared to net. The banking world bases your ability to buy off your gross income. Absolutely, again, just stupid. Effing stupid. Well, as the former CFO, we should be net. So when we're giving somebody a pre-approval, we're saying, okay, here's your number. What can you sleep at night? I love what Shane brought up. Well, in my market, it's very different than Shane's market. Parts of Massachusetts, your starter home on Cape Cod is $450,000. And it's in tough shape, and it's maybe three bedrooms, 1,000 square feet. So our markets are different, but our thought process is the same. Hey, Ed, this is all, well, John, this is going to buy you a 350 house. That doesn't exist here. Are you willing to go over the bridge? Are you willing to do this, that? Well, not really. I'm a single guy and this, that. Have you thought about buying with a friend a bigger house and then renting out rooms or doing accessory pieces? Mm-hmm. So that, I think, accessory housing is where you're legally allowed to build something and then rent it out here. So the bottom line is, gross is not what you take home, but it's what we qualify you on because of stupid regulations. Net is what you got to sleep at night and what you're comfortable with. I love what Shane said. Here's the number that you qualify for. Here, maybe in some cases, this is what you want. Well, you can't get anything for that. So we find a happy medium, or we decide you should continue to rent. Maybe we find out, Shane, they're renting in grandma's basement and they're going to inherit grandma's house when grandma croaks. So why the hell go buy a house?
Why buy a house? I've talked to people. I'm like, look, maybe now is not the good time for you to buy. You know, it's maybe it's best to say, hey, I'm staying with my parents. My mom's going to give the house to us. You know, she's going to move to Florida. Okay, well then do that.
Why go in debt?
You know, save money. You should be saving a crap ton of money, building your retirement up.
And paying off credit cards, because that's another thing. For buyers right now, if their rent is cheap or if they're living at home, I see a lot of buyers. They've got $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in credit cards.
Get rid of that.
Guys, I just posted today, 2023, average credit card rate, 22.3%. Pay down the credit cards. Find a way. The other thing I teach people is when they come up with the numbers, let's say they can afford $3,000 a month, but they're paying nothing in rented home, but they've been paying $3,000, paying off all their debt. I said, pay yourself for the next 6 months. You don't have to move. Make sure you're good. I've been accused of being the unpaid consultant because I tell people you don't need to buy today. You need to sleep at night. You need to feel it makes sense for you. My last three buyers in Massachusetts over the last 21 days, one's been with me 5 years. One's made offers over 18 months and his lease just ran out. We got him from FHA to conventional, built his credit because FHA buyers for a while, we had limited inventory. Yep. Sellers just weren't selling to those folks, sorry. But now we got an offer under. The point being is we take time. But there's a bunch of, I think Shane called, little birds that want the food birds. And they're bozos. They don't answer their phones. Yep. They don't take the time. And we both just came back from a vision meeting. We were talking to a lot of the new wonder kids, as we call them, some of the relatives of the owners of the firm. And these kids are hustling. But we're also teaching them, it's great to make the calls. Make sure you know what the F you're doing. Yep. Make sure you are taking the time to treat people. Because I take 30 loan officers, Shane. 7 might do what me and you do, which is take the time.
Yeah.
23. paper
at that young age. I mean, you know, it's learning the know with people. I mean, you know, you can teach somebody sales of sales, but it's not even selling. It's about truly wanting to help people. It's about wanting to help people. You know, we always say, yeah, we get paid, but that's just a byproduct of what we do. You know, our goal is to put you into a good home, put you into a good loan where you're happy. We don't want you hating us. And, you know,
and we want you to be there with us till you're debt free. Yeah. My oldest first time buyer, I think I brought up before, is 72. My youngest was 18. It is great to be there for individuals. You know what's a hot topic right now, Shane?
Yeah.
Is foreclosed auction homes. Yeah. I'm going to push that to you and then I'll take
a
little
bit. I do
a lot
of that. So we get a lot of people who ask, like, hey, can I buy a foreclosed home? Am I pre-approved? I'm like, yeah, you can, but you have to watch. So there are a few different ones. There's HUD homes, which I love. I do a lot of those. This is a home that was foreclosed on by FHA. So they're reselling it. And they have a process, what they do. They, you know, basically it's a bidding process. Everybody puts their bid in, what they'll pay, and then HUD goes through everything and takes the best bid. Now, some of these homes have deferred maintenance on it, like, oh, you know, HUD had it inspected, and maybe the furnace won't work, or there's some other, you know, peeling paint issues. I'll talk about that, but then, you know, whatever, there's some plumbing issues. So HUD will allow us to do, I believe the rule is now, I want to say it's 10,000, maybe 15. Don't quote me yet. I have to check, but we can, you know, in a normal loan, a person buys that home. It's a normal FHA loan, but with repair escrow, basically meaning we're going to take, if it's $10,000, let's say, we're going to escrow that money and you can do the work. You can actually have, or you can pay a plumber. And once that work's done, you have the, you know, let us know, we have it inspected, and boom, we release the funds.
And that's very unique, because in a regular rehab loan, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
This is specific to HUD homes, because they already hold the loan as FHA. You're getting a new loan with them. Yeah. That is awesome.
And it is after you close. So where many banks will, oh no, you gotta do this first. And with us, we go off at HUD's guidelines is, you know, if the electric's not on at the time, that's fine. We actually have a sheet that says HUD tested this. And other banks are like, nope, we need to take that. And it's a nightmare. That's why many of the listing agents who deal with the HUD homes, they will say, look, I know you're with bank XYZ or this company. You need to call Shane. You need to call GreenTree. You need to call Ed or Equity Resources. They know how to do this. We do these. We know what to do. And it makes the process smooth. We don't, because with HUD, if you're late, they're finding the shit out of you. And you don't want to be late. You want to close on time. So that's kind of important. Some of the other, there's bank foreclosed, it's your standard bank foreclosed on it. They're selling it. Those are your standard deals. Those are not so bad. What we're getting here, and I don't know how you're getting, Ed, you know, at one point in time, there was a sheriff sale. You know, the bank would foreclose. The sheriff would do a sale on that home. You'd go to the courthouse and, you know, and the sheriff was standing there and like, can I get 20,000, can I get 100,000, blah, blah, blah. And it was a cutoff where the bank would buy it back or someone else would buy it. Well, we're getting in our area recently where banks are doing a sheriff sale, but instead of using the sheriff, they're using an auction company, which is fine. Yeah. You know, you're paying auction fees for that. Here's the problem. They have no knowledge of if someone's still living there. So where if the sheriff does it, then it's the bank who buys it back. Their job is to, you know, vacate everybody, get the house prepped to sell. Same thing with the sheriff. If the auction company, you buy it through there, then it's your job to, if someone's living there, to evict them or to, you know, to do all this stuff. So it's important to, one, you know, talk to us. You know, we can do some research for you, or talk to your agent to do research on that, because what you, I personally don't want to buy a home and then have to kick somebody out because I had rentals. You know, those people, they will beat the living shit out of your house if you're kicking them out. They care nothing about it. So you want to make sure you know what you're doing or have the right professionals there. And that's where where it helps with Ed and I, because we're kind of like the yellow pages, man. We know these professionals. You know, you need an attorney? Ed's got attorneys up the wazoo. Not that he sells. He's in trouble all the time, but he knows a lot of people. I know a few attorneys as well. And he knows they're in the area. Accountants? We know accountants. I mean, heck, Ed, hey, the divorce attorneys, you're there. Not that you've been divorced. You've been married for happily.
26 years. Wedding bliss.
That's it. Well, your wife has been happy for a year, and then 20 other 5 years, she's just been tagging along.
She's
with
a saint, just like Janelle's a saint. They both have earplugs. They don't listen.
My wife, she tunes out over 70% of the
time. So the way you said here, we've always done the auction sales. One of the big problems, it's about education. A lot of times at the auction, you got to put 10 grand up front in a certified check. You have 30 days to close. You can't get in the house. And in Massachusetts, we're the most liberal state. You ain't evicting anybody. During COVID, friends of mine that have investment properties, people just stop paying. So knowing what you're getting into, a lot of people find, oh, well, I want the lowest price because this is what I can afford. It's so sexy until they find out it's fire, literal fire. The house is on fire on it because the tenant's lit it on fire or other things. So come to a professional. Make sure. I love your adage to the yellow pages. For you young people, you don't even know what the yellow pages are. They're little books that used to come. You go on Google. But you know what? I think it's important too, when you're looking for a mortgage person or a professional, get referrals, but then check them out on social media. Mm-hmm. See if they're real. You know what? Some people don't like me. I wear a hat, smoke cigars, and drink beer. I may not be a fit for everybody. But once they read my reviews or talk to people, they go, wow, he's human. He can wear a suit and tie. He chooses not to. He has a heart that bleeds for his clients. Yep. He has a heart that cares. He has a heart that's going to also say, this is stupid. Why are you doing a 15-year investment property? You should do a 30, because if the market goes down, you've got the flexibility. No, we're doing 15-year. And maybe that person leaves you over an eighth and you go, okay. But then maybe you get the call 7 months, a year later. It's about being honest to people. It's about not worrying about your wallet and worrying about the person. There's an adage out there that if you help enough people, you will never need to worry about help. I think it was Brian Tracy or something like that. Give with a giving hand. Educate. Yep. That's why we're here 21 years later. Me and Shane know many people that were better salespeople than us, especially in that 06, 07 era. They're gone because they didn't sell or they sold. But they didn't build relationships.
They told you what you wanted to hear. And that's not you. Not me. You know, we're going to tell you we're going to be brutally honest. If you can't handle being brutally honest, we're not your people. And I accept that. I totally accept that, because I want you laying your head on your pillow every night thinking, I'm in a happy place because of these guys. And that's where we want. We truly do want, you know, and I think it's important for us to give everybody, you know, the right answers. And that's why we do get calls after closing, like, hey, do you know this person? I'm looking for this, you know.
Man, and I'll give you an adage, an example. Back hauls to Mass, my hometown, I had a client call me and say, give me a plumber. I go, I can't. I give you 7. They go, why? I go, because they all suck. None of them return an effing phone call, so I'm not giving you one. Well, one that I used to refer a lot called me and goes, what the hell is your problem? We knew each other through fire services, and my family's like, what's your deal, Maloney? I go, Mr. Magoo, my deal is you don't answer your effing phone. I can make an idiot out of myself without your help.
Yep.
But I will also say, if somebody does an exceptional job, hey, call Mike, but give me feedback afterwards. Because for all I know, is I've referred Mike for 10 years, but now Mike's got a health issue or a family issue.
Yeah. It's important.
I think we're at the time of parting shots.
Yeah.
What's your parting shot for this wonderful April 10th day?
My parting shot is this. I want you to subscribe to our podcast, either through Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I love YouTube.
When you do that, I want you to then hit the subscribe button, because we don't see who it is, but I want you to then send us an email at mortgagedudes@callequity.net and say, hey, I subscribed, add me to the t-shirt drawing. We will put your name in a hat as a little country hat, and we will draw a t-shirt, and then we'll email you. We'll send it to you. We'll, you know, if you want a medium, a large, or extra large. Sorry, if you're over extra large, lose weight. I don't know. I barely fit in the extra large.
What if they're small? They're gonna grow.
Medium, yeah. You need to grow. You need, if you're so small.
If it's Matthew D, one of our coworkers who's small,
yeah,
he might need to grow.
He's a kid's. That would be a kid's shirt. He's a kid's medium. He's a kid's medium.
So my parting shot is this. On May 1st, it's like Christmas for me. The attitude of gratitude goes in the water. I will be doing a lot of posts on my Facebook page, which is Edward Maloney. Look me up, Farmer Ed, Fisherman Ed, Jackass Ed, some have called me. And I'll be fishing. I'll be talking about fish. I'll be talking about mortgages. The fact of the matter is this last parting shot is, get serious if you want to buy a house. Get the education, because the best time to buy a house was yesterday. The next best time is today. But if you're not ready, it's okay. Get educated so you are.
Yeah,
parting shot. We'll be back in a month. Shane, you're welcome to come to Massachusetts and that glamour, and I'll put you in my yard next to the horses so you can smell the horse poop. It'll be beautiful.
I wouldn't smell it. I have air conditioning.
Well, I'll blow it right in the window. Everybody,
all right. Happy have April. A great day, everybody.
Have a great day. Take care.